Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle.
And just open up that communication, especially with gluten and honestly some of the other things like soy and sesame and some of the other foods that people are challenged with. They're in so many things. So, you know, they don't want somebody to try to go out of their way and then go buy the big expensive flour or whatever ingredients to make a special thing, but then have this one sort of other not obvious ingredient kind of ruin the whole thing for them. Because again, it's not a case of just have a little bit. Well, I'll just have a small piece of cake then. No, it's still no cake. Hey everyone, this is Judy with the Wellness Renaissance Podcast. And I'm going to make an attempt to do a few shorter podcasts for a couple weeks just to give myself a little bit of downtime through the holidays and focus on other life reorganizations. So I am going to take and kind of a little bit randomly, perhaps we'll see how this goes, toss some information out there about if you are serving food or if you're a guest even and you have a food sensitivity or you have a guest with food sensitivities, food allergies or specific dietary needs. I'm going to share a bunch of information, may or may not be in the most organized fashion. We'll see how it all comes out. But the goal is to get you thinking about all of this food sensitivity stuff and dietary needs on a level of just maybe making it easier if you're hosting a party or an event or holidays, or if you're attending, some things you can think about. And this may not be new information to folks who are seasoned at the having an allergy and food sensitivity thing, but if you're new to it or you're trying to live in a certain dietary lifestyle, this could be helpful. And again, if you're serving people, there may just be some nuggets in here or some approaches, things that you might do or haven't thought of that might help you make it easier for you, make it easier for your guests, and just create a little bit of additional comfort. So I gathered some data from some folks, which I will utilize here, but again, may utilize it in the future when we have a larger discussion about this, but I think I can get the basics across. I'm going to talk a little bit about being a good guest, some ideas for being a good guest, some ideas for being a good host. But I want to just throw out some of the challenges that people have talked about right off the bat in holidays and going to any food event. And that is sometimes even just a restaurant. So it's not even just your party, but it's all food situations. Hey there, I just wanted to toss in a little post-recording add-in. It occurs to me that this would be a great opportunity to mention this. The topic today was really inspired by listening to people who talk about their challenges with not only the holidays, but whenever there are events where they're going to potlucks or parties or whatever the case might be. So more focused on the events at work or people's homes. And I didn't talk a whole lot about restaurants, whole other topic we can dive into as well. If you know me, you probably already know this. I have spent a lot of time surrounding myself with the concepts around food sensitivities, allergies, celiac disease from when I did my internship, from my own education, during my internship in college. One of the things that I do is talk to people about food sensitivities, help them understand a little bit more about it. What's the difference between food sensitivities, allergies, celiac disease? And I do this in various capacities. So sometimes it's just people, this is new to them. They're trying to figure out how to navigate. They have a family member. Maybe it's a church group who has people in their congregation and they want to talk about, learn about what it is, learn about how to serve folks. I also am trained to do food allergy safety training that is an actual certified training. And I say this because if it's something that you want to learn more about, definitely get a hold of me. The training is not that expensive. The point for me is about helping people understand this so that people can navigate in the world. So it's not just about getting you certified and having you do the training. It's a wonderful thing and it's an important thing. And I think it's very helpful. And from doing the training with people, they tell me that they learn things that they just hadn't been aware of. So that's the goal. But if it's something that you're curious about, whether you want general discussion, education, maybe you work at a restaurant and you want to have more confidence in asking the right questions or just knowing that you're serving people safely. So whatever it is, if you have any sort of curiosity, don't hesitate to get in touch with me and we can have a one-on-one discussion. Or if you've got a group that wants to chat, that's fantastic too. So I just wanted to toss that out there. So one of the things that comes up for people a lot, is there going to be something there that I can eat, right? Whether they're a vegetarian, vegan, or whether they've got food allergies or food sensitivities or celiac disease. People understand allergies a little bit more than some of the other things. So, you know, many people, and not all, because I still hear situations that not the case, but many people understand allergy equals anaphylactic shock equals potential death. Celiac, not so cut and dry, because it's not an immediate reaction. They're probably not going to, you know, they're not going to keel over on your floor. That being said, it's a lifelong thing that over time diminishes their health, creates other autoimmune system issues. I've known multiple people who have been diagnosed with celiac later in their life, and they think, my gosh, if I had known this years ago, I probably wouldn't have these four other autoimmune things that I'm dealing with. So there are real consequences that are not necessarily direct. There's also sickness. Some people with celiac are literally down in bed for days after consuming sometimes not a whole lot of gluten, which is the offending thing. Wheat gluten is the offending thing for a celiac person. And sometimes they have other dietary things they need to take out while their gut is healing as well. And then, of course, we have, like I say, vegetarians probably not going to get super sick or sick when they have meat, but it's living under their chosen moral values. And that goes the same for various religious practices, right? So there are some people who don't eat particular types of food in religious practices. And sometimes we're really good at honoring that. So there's multiple reasons that people might be eating in particular ways. And sometimes they're eating a particular way for a particular time to figure some things out about their body. So one of the biggest stressors for people with food sensitivities, allergies, and even people eating under just any particular dietary restriction that they might have self-chosen is there going to be food for me to eat there? And it may sound simple if you haven't dealt with this before. You think, well, just call and ask somebody. Call a restaurant. Ask people who are bringing what they're bringing, a potluck or whatever. You don't always have access to the host of an event that you're going to. And even if you do, the questions aren't always welcomed. Sometimes there's defensiveness in the person that's being asked for whatever reason. Sometimes that defensiveness comes from you're asking me to do extra work. What I'm providing isn't, in a sense, good enough or received well. And so having that discussion, this comes up a lot, having that discussion, making that call for many people is they just, there's kind of some stress about that that comes up in just even asking those questions. And sometimes it goes well, but sometimes there's a lot of resistance. And it's just taking the time and feeling like you're bugging somebody about what they're providing and that kind of thing too. So knowing if somebody does ask you those questions, that they aren't necessarily saying, hey, can you do something different? But they might be just saying, hey, I just want to know. I want to know if I need to bring my own food or, oh, well, what are you making? And then maybe I can mirror my own food with my dietary needs. And sometimes those discussions go really great, right? Like you discover, oh, well, I'm making a salad and it has this dressing. Oh, well, that dressing has sesame on it. Would you mind leaving it off? And then I'll bring my own dressing. And then everybody can just take how much dressing they want, which a lot of people appreciate anyway. Or various other things, you know, oh, I'll bring my own cupcake. If you're, you know, I'll bring my own cupcake that I can eat when you have cake that might mirror the flavor or whatever the case might be. So if you get one of those calls, know that the person might not be asking that. And in some cases, maybe they are. Maybe they're staying for multiple days and they've just discovered that their kid has this going on or that they have this going on. And so asking, you know, hey, could you maybe substitute this ingredient or this brand of a particular ingredient, which many times, not always, but many times it's inconsequential and it's not a big deal. Then there's the being at an event, and for people with food sensitivities and allergies, it's then having to ask or wondering, is this really safe? Is there an ingredient in here that I might not know about? You know, what exactly is in this and how is it made and did it have cross contact? And it takes you a little bit out of the party sometimes or the event to ask those questions, or it's not always easy to do that. And that can be sometimes solved if people have little cards that just state the ingredients of what they put on it. That doesn't, if you are somebody who does that, just know that somebody may still have to ask you about a brand or whatever the case might be if they have an intensive issue. Because, for instance, sometimes particular brands will have, one brand has soy lecithin and the other one has another kind of lecithin, and that's something that that person doesn't get sick from. Or if you're using soy sauce versus tamari, make sure that you write that down because those feed different people. Soy sauce has wheat in it, tamari does not. Many people know that if they're purchasing tamari, they typically know that it doesn't have wheat in it. But if that is something you are making for a party dish and the only wheat ingredient is soy, if you switch to tamari, you can label that as an ingredient and probably open up some opportunities for some folks to eat it. Another thing that happens, and this came up multiple times, is somebody has made you something specifically to go with your dietary needs, and maybe you end up finding out that they used an ingredient that really does end up having the offending food in it for you, but it just wasn't obvious. And so you really can't eat it anyway. And so it's like, oh man, you know, thank you so much for going through all this work, but I'm really sorry. I really can't eat it. I'm so sorry. That's where communication can be such a huge help. And it stinks. It stinks so much when somebody tries to do something to surprise you or to be really, you know, they're trying to be on it and they're like, oh, I'm making this for you. And it sucks so bad. And know that if you've done that, you are so appreciated for your effort, even if it didn't work out. My cousin has celiac, and she made the statement that she ends up worrying so much if something has wheat in it that she ends up making her own self sick about the worry. And that is something I have heard multiple times before, especially with people with celiac and with food allergies, be it their kids that they're paying attention to or even their spouse. So what do people do to solve these concerns? Everything from, of course, bringing their own food, calling and asking questions and ingredients, and offering sometimes to make something themselves, be it a dish that duplicates, or say, oh, would you mind if I made that particular dish? Then they can make it under their own guidelines. Having food before they go, basically rarely going somewhere hungry. Having stashes of food in their purse, in their car. Some people literally do just bring, you know, if they're traveling in such a way that they can do this, they will bring ready-made meals or bring all of their food with them. I know some people that I've talked to who travel like quite a distance and they go spend multiple days with family. The thing that they do is they either bring it in a suitcase. Now that it's getting more expensive to bring suitcases, they plan a grocery trip when they get there. One challenge that comes up is if they're going to an area where there just isn't the availability of all the different types or brands of food that they need, that basically just allow them safe options if they do the cooking, you know, the baking and that kind of thing. If you're eating a, you know, fruit and veggie and meat type diet, that alleviates a lot of things. But I remember having a conversation a while back with somebody who was really, they struggled because their family, big family, was back in an area where they just didn't have, the grocery stores just didn't have the brands. So they would, with the advent of Amazon and shipping being easier, they will have the stuff shipped ahead if they can. But sometimes that's still not necessarily available. And, you know, it could cost a lot to just do that and make it simple. And if you're flying or whatever, not always easy to just bring everything or bring everything prepared. So thank goodness there's a lot more options with the way we can get food. It's been very huge for people with allergies and sensitivities finding food that they can consume. You could also go through the grocery store with FaceTime. Now we have FaceTime and we can do like live video stuff. So you can be on the phone and the person can be saying, oh, that brand, yeah, that brand to the left. That works for me. That might alleviate some things too. It's a little more, again, time consuming, but can help. And then, you know, another thing you can do if you are making stuff, take pictures of the products that you're using. So you can just whip through them on their phone and they can take a peek and might not answer all the questions, but it could really help. And before you go to all that work, I would say, you know, talk to the person, see what they need and what questions they have, and just open up that communication to see what will work best. One of the questions I asked the people with food dietary needs, what would you like folks to know or consider as they plan their gatherings? And great stuff came across. First of all, the awareness that there are a lot of really great foods that can be prepared without gluten, dairy, eggs, and dressings and sauces that can be just left on the side. That creates a lot of flexibility for a lot more people. I think sometimes people don't realize, and thank you, Stacey Quaid, for that answer, because I pretty much read it verbatim. People sometimes just don't realize that there are really simple things they can do and that those things can feed a lot of people. I'm coming from Minnesota, where there are a lot of people who, I have known people who have not told their family and friends, or a good chunk of them, that they had food sensitivities that were really big deals to them because they just didn't want to bother people. So they would really avoid eating things. And some of them said nobody noticed. And sometimes there were people that said that people did notice and they were offended. So again, the communication thing is really interesting, and this discomfort with all of that can be very fascinating and get us all in very weird little mind spaces. So again, promoting to open the door to just being able to communicate and respect what's going on for people. Some other things that came up are to, if you are looking to serve your guests with food sensitivities or dietary needs, ask a lot of questions, like just get down what the situation is so that you do prepare it so that they can eat it. And a lot of times that really doesn't have to take a lot of extra work to do it. It's just a matter of knowing that you feel confident with whatever ingredients you're choosing is the right ingredient. Sometimes if you're not tied to a recipe, but you want to have particular things there, the person with food sensitivities can either A, if they're into bringing something, they can maybe do that, or even get you a recipe that they have tried and true, or suggest brands. That is a huge, huge thing, because I know there's nothing worse, and I'm going to pick on one brand for a moment, and I apologize for this brand because it's not their fault. Some people love this and this is what they use. But if you don't know much about gluten-free bread and you want to get somebody gluten-free bread and you buy, I think it's called NRG, most of those of us who are gluten-free, not fans, there are some people that will, and I think it's still around, but as of a few years ago, when I know it was still around, I know there are some people who said that was the thing I didn't get sick on. That is the bread that I eat. I'm fine with it. I will eat it. It is what I know will not make me sick. And so asking those things, the people have some great resources, and sometimes it's like, oh, I want to have this. And you're like, oh my gosh, I have the best bread for that. I'll get it at my local place and I'll bring it on down. So again, communication being key. Another thing is that Heather, one of the people who answered my questions, said is it's sometimes just easier for her to feed herself than to have somebody else prepare food without the proper food allergy training and have it be something that she either A, gets sick on, or B, just can't eat. And really, what another theme that comes across is people don't want all of the discussion about their food and at the table to be about their food and their diet. They just want to be a part of the party. They don't want to be the person that can't eat X. They just want to eat what they can eat. They want to avoid the things that they want to avoid. And they want to enjoy themselves and blend in. And I think that that's a theme that comes across often. That's why sometimes the pre-conversations happen, because they don't want to have to ask it while they're there or the host is busy with their people. So that's sometimes, again, why people will pre-ask those questions, is to just, let's get that part out of the way so I can come in and I know there are two things I can consume. I will eat those two things and I will be happy and everybody's at peace. Or again, they know that they can bring their own food and that is just fine, because then they know what they're eating. And especially with gluten and honestly, some of the other things like soy and sesame and some of the other foods that people are challenged with, they're in so many things and they're hidden in there. And so people feel, you know, they don't want somebody to try to go out of their way and then go buy the big expensive flour or whatever ingredients to make a special thing, but then have this one sort of other not obvious ingredient kind of ruin the whole thing for them. Because again, it's not a case of just have a little bit. Well, I'll just have a small piece of cake then. No, it's still no cake or bread or whatever the case might be. Or no stir fry if you can't have soy, or if you can't have wheat rather, you know, and somebody's put soy sauce in it. So just understand that people aren't being picky. They are trying to enjoy your party without getting sick, you know, at your party or a day later. And also it was pointed out too, and this is a really excellent point, if you do go out of the way to make something and you've done the best you could, and then you find out that the person can't eat it because of this one random ingredient, people know that it's hard. They know that it can be hard to figure out and suss that stuff out. And it's not your fault. It's not your fault for messing that piece up. Again, that's where if you want to do that, communicating with that person, or if you want to do it as a surprise, know that that might not go as well as you think, or try to find somebody who really knows either that person's what they can consume or what that person is dealing with to help you make the best choice. I also asked for basically what are people doing, be they tips, tricks, mindsets that help them to stay on course. Whether that is just a healthy diet that they're trying to have or eating, keeping up their healthy habits during the holidays, or if it is a food sensitivity. You know, for some people, it's a food sensitivity where, well, I can have a little bit, because there are people that can have a little bit. Some people really can't have a little bit, but they have a little bit. They just pay the consequences. And so this whole food sensitivity thing is this very big, broad stroke of experiences between a ton of different symptoms and how people respond and how long it takes their body to respond and all of those kinds of things. So know that there are complications in that when you see somebody maybe have a little bit of something or whatever the case might be, that there's complexities when it comes to sensitivity. And celiac disease, for some people, they have no symptoms. So that doesn't mean they can eat wheat. The eating wheat still damages their body. It hurts them. They just don't feel the pain. And that's a challenging thing in this culture with all the media we have coming at us and telling us what to eat and how much we are kind of the experience out of sight, out of mind, out of feel, out of mind. So I give a ton of credit to those people who have celiac, who have no symptoms, who remain solidly on a gluten-free diet. Like that is a wonderful thing, and it is what you need to do. It is what you need to do. And they know that because they're doing it and they get the health consequences of not doing that. They're just a little farther out there than somebody else who might end up in bed for 3 days. So some of these tips, we've talked about a little bit of them. Bringing your food can be very, very helpful to stay away from the table with the food that you either can't consume or maybe it's sweets, you know, maybe you're, like I said, the healthy option. And so maybe you're really trying to stay away from sugar or really minimizing that. So bringing your own food that you can eat along with everybody else, you know, finding beverages that are compliant for you to hold in your hand so you're feeling like you have something that you're happy with. You might even have to bring those yourself as well. Water with a little lemon can be a nice thing for guests as an option, or have the water that has the cucumbers or limes in it so it creates some flavor and can sort of feel fancy. Many times for potlucks, or even sometimes people will do this just at a regular gathering, they'll offer to bring a dish or two so that they know that they have something they can eat throughout the evening that is safe for them. Other people, it's a mindset around, I know I'm going to get sick. Keeping that in mind and knowing that that's just not worth it for them. And even if you are willing to pay the price for being sick, just a reminder, that's still not good for your body. Obviously, allergies, might end up in the hospital, celiac, it does wear your system down and you're challenging your immunity. So I know that's totally no fun, kind of a killjoy, but it's true. And if it's a helpful incentive to help you stay on the straight and narrow of your diet needs, then I hope I can help. And for some, it's the inspiration of seeing the food that they can't eat, but they really want to have, and then they go figure out how to make that in their own version of that in the food that is compliant for them. And I have a friend who loves to entertain and she loves to cook. And not only does she love it, she's amazing at it. And she kind of takes it on sometimes as a bit of a challenge to make foods that are compliant to those with food sensitivities. And she comes out always with fantastic stuff. Oh my gosh. So, you know, she doesn't see it as a bother as much as how can I do this? Or, well, geez, what can we have that's just already gluten-free or whatever the case is? And she just works amazingly with the gluten-free and has some of my favorite desserts are gluten-free and at her house. So if you're serving a family that has a bunch of food allergies or sensitivities, can you have the perspective of intrigue and excitement if you are somebody who loves to cook and try new things? So some basic tips if you're the host, some suggestions to maybe make things easier, like we've talked about. Be communicative to your guests. Open the door when you have people over to say, hey, are there any food needs I need to be aware of? And you can say, I will try to accommodate for what I can, because there are some that are really tricky to accommodate for, or you know that this brand is the thing that makes that dessert great, and you don't want to make two versions, or maybe you do. But if you can communicate that and open the door to that communication, let people know, hey, I'm open to hearing and we'll see what we can do. Ask questions about brands or ideas that they might have that you might not think of, or recipes if that's what you're looking for. Or just say, hey, what are two or three really simple things that I can do that are under your diet restrictions that will work? So they can say, hey, you know what? Don't worry about it. I'm going to eat before I come. But if you have a veggie tray, it'd be great. Or I'll just bring some gluten-free crackers, or I'll bring this with me, or whatever. It just opens the door to letting them say what they can do. Or maybe it's a situation of, well, gosh, I'm coming straight from your house to the airport, so would you mind if you picked up this and I'll pay you back, or whatever the case might be. But to figure those things out, be receptive to the discussion. Know that they might even be really nervous to talk to you because of past experiences they've had with other people. So they're nervous about the conversation. Food is a very emotional thing, both when you want the food that you want to serve at your event, because that's what you've always had, and their desire to eat that food and have particular foods that they want that now they might be restricted from. And sometimes if this is new and fresh, it's really, the conversations are hard and some people feel embarrassed about it. And there's nothing to feel embarrassed about it if you have an allergy, sensitivity, celiac. But the reality is people still struggle with that sometimes. So be receptive, be open. Keep your recipes handy. Have ingredient lists available. If you want to do that, put it on the table. If you have a potluck, just ask people if they could bring a list of what is in the food. Also very helpful. Don't be offended if someone doesn't eat. If they're not eating and you want to have a conversation with them about that, obviously feel free to do that, but again, come receptive to the conversation. They may have eaten beforehand for their own safety, or they may just feel unconfident, or maybe they had a bad experience and got sick recently and it's really fresh to them and they just don't want to bring that up to you. So know that there might be reasons. At the same time, if you want to accommodate, ask them, hey, I noticed that you're not eating. Is there something else I can get for you? Or do you have some questions about the food? Even if you don't know they have a sensitivity, maybe opening the door to find out, oh, I'm not eating this right now, or whatever, and then let them have whatever they're doing for themselves. This is something I hear all the time is, oh, but you can just have a little, or people kind of literally shoving food towards people after they've said they can't eat it. I've seen that for people with allergies, and I see that for people who are really working hard at dieting, and really they have their food goals and they're not eating sugar, or they're only going to have one cookie or none at all, and food gets tossed towards them. So know that the question or kind of the assumption of pushing somebody to say, oh, you can just have a little, is not helpful to them. And it's not true. And it's sometimes hard because there is that pressure that people have or that they take on, especially if they're in a situation where they're, again, they have said, I'm not going to eat sugar. And then it kind of gets pushed on them and they take on the pressure. Not so much fun. So be a good steward of your people and their diet plans. And maybe the question is it okay for you to have a little? And their answer might be for some people, you know what, it is okay, but I really want to be mindful of the choice that I make in that. So thank you for offering, but no thank you. You know, and another reason somebody might not eat for their own simplicity is if they do have an allergy and they are worried, or they see that spoons are getting tossed from place to place, that might just be for them a thing that says, hey, you know what, this is just a little bit dangerous for me and I don't want to take the chance. So again, nothing offensive, but when somebody has an allergy, we've all known people with peanut allergies, and it's pretty darn severe, and that can go for other things as well, ingested or inhaled. So they might just be making the best choice for them to know that they're keeping themselves safe. If you are a guest with a food sensitivity or allergy or dietary needs of any kind, communicate when you can with whoever is putting on the show, asking them all of those questions of what you need, what's available, but approaching them if you can with a curious attitude about what they're doing. And again, I know sometimes these conversations get tricky when there's emotion around them, and I can tell you lots of stories. But if you can approach the situation with curiosity and maybe even having in your mind your own backup plan, if the answer is there really isn't anything there before you even call, just to make it easier, communicate with them, however you're communicating with them, just to make it a little bit easier on yourself if you don't get the receptive response that you desired. And have some offerings available. You know, what can you do? What can you bring? So that you feel like if the conversation doesn't go great and, you know, there isn't going to be anything, that you have a solution or a backup place to eat out. I know I went to a conference years ago now, and I had done everything I could to try to find out what the food catered at the conference was going to be. And it was next to impossible. The people who were handling the food did not want to tell me. And, you know, and it wasn't a case of, well, we don't know. It was just a case of that it was kind of none of my business. And so I had to go create a backup plan. And my backup plan was going to a restaurant. And I called the restaurant and I said, okay, I see these foods on your menu. Is this, this, and this gluten-free? And the person that I talked to on the phone said, yes, they were. I got to the restaurant when I called in my order and I found out that none of them were gluten-free, and I had to completely rework my order. So sometimes those things do go really, really wrong, and you feel like you've done kind of the best that you could. How many times do you call a restaurant and ask the same question over and over again? I definitely would in those situations. If you have somebody that does not sound confident, I called a pizza place once and I asked them if they had gluten-free crust, and there was pause, 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 and a, yeah, we have gluten-free, we have that, I think is what they said. We have that. Luckily, I had some time and I called back and ended up speaking to the manager, and the manager was like, oh, no, 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 we do not have gluten-free crust. But if you're talking to a person, being open about what's available or how you can problem solve can be really helpful. Not getting mad if they don't have food that works for you, you know, when you're there, if you weren't able to communicate beforehand. Focusing on the event, if that's the case, the conversation can be really helpful. Again, anything you can do to bring your own food or stick to the beverages, if there's beverages that work for you. Try to make it as pleasant on yourself as possible. And I would say this too, if you are planning a gathering for, say, an office or a work outing, you know, ask those questions if people have food issues, you know, and how can you provide for that easily? Or just let them know, hey, we're having sandwiches. I'm sorry, there isn't going to be gluten-free options. Or can you make sure that you have meat trays and that the meat is gluten-free? And yes, you do need to ask if the lunch meat is gluten-free, because it isn't always that way. But if you have all those things separate, makes it really easy. The folks who can't eat eggs don't have to worry about the mayonnaise. The folks who can't have cheese don't pick up cheese, you know, and try to have a well-rounded options for folks. Doing some of those things can just solve problems. I have been at a couple events where sandwiches were brought in, pre-made sandwiches, and a lot of people couldn't consume them due to gluten intolerances and diabetic issues, and they were, you know, not able to eat the bread or various things like that. And so it leaves a lot of people out and has them sometimes feeling forgotten, especially if it is a group of people where people know that. Having a meeting and a discussion and Googling, what are some options we can do? Talking to the people about problem solving. How do we do this easily and within our budget? Skipping back to that if you're hosting again. But those things sometimes come up, and I know that I hear people frustrated because there's all this food that they can't have, or they're like, well, I go to the party, I go to the all our work events, and there's either nothing healthy there or there's nothing that complies with their food needs, they're like, it would just not be that difficult to make a little bit of a different choice. So, you know, maybe due to certain circumstances, it is a problem, but letting people know that ahead of time, again, communications from both sides is huge. Being able to help someone problem solve, back to the, if you're a guest, being able to help someone problem solve to figure out what might be served, what brand they might get, or whatever the case might be, and leave time. If you know you're doing this, and I know sometimes things are impromptu and that doesn't work, but leave some time. If you know you're having this event, get a hold of the people, communicate it out, what you're having, what you're not having, or what questions you have, and make it easy. Truly, there are things that are both really hard and not hard at all when it comes to having allergies, sensitivities, or specific diets. So let's communicate and make those things easy and better. Most of us, when we're having events, we want everybody to feel included in the event and in the partaking of the food. That's one of the things that we do to celebrate. So how can we do that with ease and everybody feels welcome and included? Sometimes that's hard and not easy, but if it doesn't work out that way and somebody's not included, how can you focus on the events or not focus on those feelings or problem solve for them differently next time? On whichever end of that you're on. Communication and openness is key. Receptivity of, again, whichever end you're on is also key. Any pre-planning you can do is great. If you're going out to a restaurant, look at the menu beforehand. All of those things. Food is more difficult to navigate than it used to be with all of the sensitivities and all of the things that are coming up. And even just the simplicity of somebody trying to eat healthy sometimes. Eat a whole food diet can be challenging when we go to events. I've been at multiple events where there isn't a thing that's grown from the ground or has been alive anywhere to be seen. And that there's a lot of reasons for that. Sometimes it's food habits, sometimes it's budgetary. You know, we live in a world where, you know, the more processed something is, the cheaper it is. And isn't that weird? I get it, but it's still kind of weird. And processed food a lot of time is where the challenges come in with food allergies and food sensitivities. And peanuts is arguably, some would say, is a processing issue as well. I hope that's helpful. This has not turned into a short podcast, but it's hard to get on the subject. And this is something that I deal with a lot, have dealt with a lot over the years. And I have heard and read so many stories, and it still do, live and in person. And I want to make this just easier to navigate for all of us. You know, some people, this is not a big deal for them. Their friends, their family are super aware and it's not a problem. And then I know of people who somebody in the family just doesn't want to understand that their kid has a peanut allergy and that they can't be around it. So it's all over the spectrum, and I'm kind of trying to speak to all of that spectrum. So if this is something you're listening to and you're having a challenge, you know, maybe there's a way you can get this to them to have them listen to it. So good luck with your eating out and enjoying your food and being able to maintain the goals of your eating that maintain your health and wellness. I know both firsthand and by witness how tricky that can be. And I know how simple that can be. There's just a lot of different pieces, and it depends on what kind of puzzle you're working with. I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode and all the other episodes of the podcast. I hope you're having a fantastic Christmas, holiday, whatever it is that you are excited about and celebrate this season. Please check out the podcast, other episodes at wellnessrenpodcast.com. On that website, you can listen to and check out all the other topics that we've discussed on the weekly podcast. You could sign up for the email that just gets an email in your box each week, lets you know what we've got coming out, what it is, and gives you an easy way to click on it and play. And of course, supporting the podcast by sending this information forward to somebody who might benefit is so huge. Building people who are aware of the podcast and know what's out there and can learn whatever they can gain that helps their health and their life is the goal. So please do not hesitate to pass the podcast on via Facebook or email, whatever the case might be. If you're in a place that you are able to support the podcast monetarily, you can go to the website, wellnessrenpodcast.com, and look to the left. You're going to see a Become a Patron button, and you have the availability to support the podcast monthly, as little as $1 a month. And there are other levels that gain you various things. And of course, if you're an Amazon shopper and using those gift certificates that you got as gifts for Christmas, remember you can support the podcast in a way that does not cost you a dime. All you have to do is go to the wellnessrenpodcast.com page, go to support the podcast, and you're going to see a bunch of Amazon links. You get into Amazon from that. Doesn't matter what you purchase, but everything in that purchase, little tiny bit of it goes into a bucket to support the podcast. And we are so grateful for all of you who take those extra couple clicks to get there. Thank you so much. And like I said, it doesn't cost you a dime. So if you buy a new TV and a new bedroom set and all those delightful things, the chunk is just a little bit bigger. And again, that is super helpful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Take good care, be well, safe travels, and may you continue to find the pieces that fit into your health and wellness puzzle. Until next time.